And then this one. Well, people, these things are long. I really can't read all these things alone. Let's go back to the phone lines. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning, Mr. Price.
How are you today, sir?
Well, I am hanging in here. Mm-hmm. What I want to mention, I'm going to mention one issue. A caller had made, he has spoken about what Senator, the then Senator from Detroit, had said in the Senate about the
social partnership.
The social partnership. Mm-hmm. And I think that when he came and said something else different, the caller was saying that he's now saying something different. And the moderator, probably the moderator was Mr. Johnson, had asked him if things didn't change. Well, that is the point that I want to go from, because the said caller had informed me that the source we got the information, and it was really from a letter to the newspaper that I had supported what Mr. Stewart, Senator Stewart, had said on the social partnership. Because what he was saying, the private sector, which you know, Sanger, the private sector is broad. It's either private sector or public sector. But what you have with the social partnership for the private sector, they're more or less these with the corporate Barbados. That's where it appears like. They don't deal with the vendors constitute the private sector. You've got a cross-section of vendors. You've got small business people that constitute the private sector. But apparently they're apparently. I know they're not a part of that. And Mr. Stewart, at the time Prime Minister, was very critical of the way the private sector side was constituted. He didn't have anything with the problem with the other two sides, which is the government and the workers' side. But he was critical of how... But lo and behold, I was the most surprised man when I hear him come and support the social partnership, because the point is nothing has changed. Nothing has changed when he was senator to when he became prime minister as far as the social partnership. The structure has not included those entities that were left out.
So, sorry to cross you, but you made your point. And in your view, how do we fix the social partnership? Is it even necessary? You've heard what Dr. Bell said and Dr. Marshall. How do we fix this? Or do we even need it going forward?
To be honest with you, I feel we need a structure like that, bringing people together to discuss national issues. But you can't leave out such a large number of people and then say it is the private sector. Say it's the corporate Barbados. But don't say it constitutes the private sector when you know that a number of private sector entities are not included. That is because there's nothing wrong with people getting together and discussing national issues and putting ideas on the table. I was a member of the Barbados Workers Union executive for a while. And they had several meetings with the groups. Sometimes they went over to the workers' union, and every mayor there, somebody from the private sector would attend. You know, if you've got a Browns Beach march, and then you have a speech and so on, and somebody would come from the other two sides, from government and also from the same private sector side of things. But I'm just saying how Mr. Stewart, the Prime Minister, has changed his position without anything in the private sector or the social partnership changing. And this is cause for concern, because then these people got to remember what they said in places where it is recorded. Because you can say things and it is not recorded and nobody remember. But you go and check Hansard and you know whatever he said.
Yeah, but I mean, in all fairness to Mr. Stewart, okay?
Yeah.
He said that, okay, he was speaking of his conscience, and basically Mr. Stewart has a specific perspective, and that perspective comes out when he's on the attack on certain issues. In fact, if you recall, when the march was held, the private sector, as well as, the union. Unions.
Right.
And he made the point about lambs lying down with lions, and he went on and on and on. And one saw shades of that perspective that he, you would have heard when he was a senator coming out. But the point is that when he became prime minister, this social partnership existed. He needed to be the national leader of the country. And I think that he tried to do that. Okay? I think we need to be fair to Mr. Stewart. And I think he really tried to do that.
But, Sanka, I am not being unfair. I was saying what he said. I think he's prime minister, and he is now leading the government side of the social partnership. Then the issue with the other side, with the private sector, you can't tell me that he, while sitting down with the private sector people, he can't tell them that they should include a broader thing of the other entities in the private sector. Why he got it? It didn't change when he was senator. So now he's the prime minister, heading the private sector and the government side. He should be telling them to broaden their scope and include people who are part of the private sector in Barbados who are not now represented in the social partnership. Mm-hmm. That is what I am saying. So I ain't giving them the fair break. I would never do that. Mm-hmm. I like you. I stay at Fox, and you may stay at Fox, and you do the research. That is it. The chips fall wherever they may.
Fair enough. Well, sir, I think
you have a good day.
Thanks a lot. Always lovely to hear you. Someone here is writing me, the SSA in Vaucluse, that is the SSA building in Vaucluse, is built as a bolt project. That's build, operate, lease, and transfer project. So the cost is not incurred all at once, but spread over years. What would be great is if the private sector investors would do bolt arrangements for garbage trucks, buses, sewage treatment plants, etc. And thank you for that note, 3833. And I basically, from what we're hearing, it seems that the transport board buses will be bought in some similar arrangement like that. But I guess we hear more of that later. We go back to the phone lines. It is 11 o'clock. Good morning. You are on the air.
Mr. Price.
How are you today, sir? Yes, how are you today, sir?
Not too bad. I want to give some facts and figures. You see, let me just tell you, I'm one of the people who would never be part of any organization, anything that doesn't know the history of it. It made me look an idiot. If I'm going to a band of jumbies, I will know the history of them, okay? I want to do the same thing too. Never going to anything unless you understand the history of it, okay? Let me give my two submissions this morning here. First, I want to give Mr. Jennings yesterday.
Sir, could you just, I think you're speaking a little close to the phone.
Oh, yeah.
Right, so just ease it off a little.
Right, oh, yeah, let me tell you. Uh-huh. I want to do Mr. Jepta Ince yesterday. Okay, hear me now?
Yeah, Mr. Jepta Ince yesterday. Senator Jepta Ince.
Mr. Jepta Ince said yesterday that Mr. Frank Walker spearheaded the Shop Act.
Spearheaded the what? Sorry, I didn't hear that.
The Shop Act.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Somebody let me just remind Mr. Ince. I don't know if he lost his way. He doesn't know or what. Frank Walker was never minister in any part of this, in a BLP government. Those acts were far in the 1950s when the Barbados Labour Party was in power, when Frank Walker was part of the trade union, because the trade union came to the Labour Party in Grand Adams. And those acts was brought forward. Let me just give the acts that were brought forward. Vocation with Pay Act. Maternity Leave with Pay Act. Okay? Maternity Leave with Pay Act. Workmen Compensation Act. Labour Location Act. The Family Planning had an act. Housing had an act, okay? All things had acts. And they were done long, long before Frank Walker leave any part to become independent or part of the Democratic Labour Party. Let's just tell me since that means that you don't understand. I wonder how long he born. How old he is. And what he's been reading, okay? Let me just say that. So for people to come and say, make people believe, that's a whole try some time ago to make you believe that they had the maternity, they had the people vacation pay. Yeah, I don't want you to be a minister. I was trying to actually as a matter of give back the business people in this country their own way. I think that these things need to be sought and taught to people and to be answered to people about those things. And I think that if the clarification is being made, he tried to fool the people, that clarification that Frank Walker fought for this act and fought for Frank Walker couldn't fight a trade union, fight for workers. He cannot pass that. He can only beg the government of the day. Am I right?
Yeah.
I wait, Mr.
Yeah,
he can only beg the government later to correspond with him, if it's his party or not. But at the time that these laws were passed, it came to adult suffrage and the barbers lived in power. Who dare him to come and say this stupidness? I hope he's hearing me, okay? I want, if you hear me, you call back, answer me. I will deal with him. Fine, good. Number two.
Before you move on, you raise a point here that I think is something. I said you raised something here that needs to be looked at, because I hear it for myself, a number of things being said by politicians on both sides, well, from all sides.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of half-truths.
True.
Okay? And a lot of people are downright telling lies, quite frankly.
That's true.
And there are a lot of half-truths.
Yeah.
And, you know, we nobody checks the facts. People just along with what these people are saying.
No.
And it saddens me that we have come to this where there's no real depth of knowledge or no one around as yet to fact check some of these things. And I think that's really, really needed here.
Yeah, I agree.
Because, as I said, I keep hearing it all the
time. Young people don't read. Young people don't read the facts of history. They don't like history. If you see, if you go and see careful grammar, how many people are doing history, you're surprised nobody does history anymore, nearly, or geography, those things. So they don't know. If young people, I can't blame young people if they don't
know. This is not really history per se, you know. This is, if you're dealing with an issue, let's say you're dealing with labor law, labor legislation, whatever.
Yeah.
The whole point is that the foundation legislation that was put in place, that has to come up. What you've just talked about has to come up.
I believe somebody thrown it away, you know.
Sorry, I didn't hear that.
I believe being thrown away from the archives. I stand by that. I believe being thrown away from the archives of this country for certain political purposes. So therefore, if nothing is there, you can't get nothing with something or nothing. If nothing there to focus on, how you can get something? Then my point, I believe being thrown away mischievously.
I don't think that that's what's happening. It's just
I don't know.
The way that we do things. Everything is fast food these days. Everybody wants.
Oh, yeah. Right, let me go on to my next point. I want some good people coming.
But don't.
My next point.
Yeah, you make your point.
Yeah, I want to go. But I want other people to get this. I don't hug this show. I heard yesterday too, a gentleman, Mr. Arthur, who calls very. There's some people call your program. I know they're Christian, but if they're gonna sit down and tell you, I'm going to church and the reverence in church, accept them. Oh, Lord, have mercy. What are they telling you? They're telling lies. Well, if you got people that are going to church and telling lies, and you got people that say telling people letters, and you're upsetting people to come in church and come and tell lies, it's a sad thing. It's a sad thing. Let me go on to him now, Mr. Arthur. And he said yesterday, he made sort of believe yesterday that the problem we had in Rem, it's not only environmental problems. And he believed he went to Mango, which was Stinkeroo at the time. Landfill. The problem started there. So he better make the people believe that it started there under the then BLP government, which I do. But Mango started as a landfill that burned under the Democratic Labour Party. What happened is that Sir David Simmons, when he was David Simmons, sued the sanitation department, I put about 12 people there died with I think smoke inhalation or something to or something like that, and died with asthma. And Sir David Simmons sued the sanitation department. This is true, we can go and say it. For the residents of Mangrove and Archwell and Bennett, and he got reward for them. Two, they were shifted to two. That was another thing with that. I remember I have a paper here. I could bring the nation and show you that the tabloids in England, when that happened, they wrote in the Daily Telegraph telling the people people come here as tourists to Barbados, do not come to Barbados, have an environmental problem. It is here. If the nation archives, those people have that, they can show you. And people like him will stop talking nonsense. Okay? It didn't happen on.
But again, that's the point I'm making.
Yeah.
I didn't hear that yesterday, but I do
hear
him
about,
and some others sometimes. And there are a lot of half-truths.
Yeah.
And unless I really have the facts in front of me, because some I remember most of these things, but sometimes it. I won't have the facts, you know, to hand to be able to give detail. But that's what I keep talking about, a lot of half-truths and then sometimes downright lies. So that's what happens. But anyhow.
I see again, it's $13,000, $1,300 reverse.
Well, if you are not one of the people who should, one of those, if you're one of those who are going to benefit from that, I can tell you my favorite brew, and I'll come and join you.
All this time, they come and know they think people foolish. They think that people, everyone who come at time, when you suffer, sacrifice, murder, barbarian people.
All right. All right, sir. This is Brass Dax. Good morning. You're on the air.
Hi, Mr. Price. How are you, sir?
I'm well. And you?
I'm great, Mr. Price.
The sun is shining where you're at today?
Very bright. My election rain wet the land.
Some rain. We had rain for the last several weeks, man.
I like some water. I like to keep you alive.
Are you a farmer?
Yes, sir.
How long have you been a farmer?
All my life, sir.
Why have you been in farming?
Because I love it. You know, when I was going to school, there was a couple of things I wanted to be. A cricketer, a singer, or a farmer. Those were the things I wanted to be. So I ain't get through any other two, so I get through farming. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. What I call you about, Mr. Price, mm-hmm. is that your first two callers, Bell and the other gentleman, it was interesting.
Yes.
Interesting conversation, but nobody's saying the right things. When the rich in this world need more money, what to do? They fight wars to get more money. So, if we at the bottom struggling, we got the revolution down these countries. That's the only way these people will understand that we are struggling. So, that is the way, revolution. Now, we're talking about the trade union. How did trade union start, Mr. Price? Do you remember?
How they started?
Yeah. Do you remember?
Yes, I remember.
Tell me, man. Or tell the people.
No, you go ahead. This is your program.
By a gentleman named Mr. Lord Moen come down here and put certain things in place. Where the people that there was the governments or whoever it was, the government in the churches before, probably wasn't getting sufficient wages. So he come down here and put the union in place so that certain things could happen. But where our money was coming from? Our money was coming through the sugar industry, and our money was coming from England. England was supporting these countries. Now, after independence, the money is who supporting these countries. But our governments, because the union comes through and begging for more money, our governments come through and give them more money, but now we don't have no more money. The money we have now can hardly pay the workers that we have employed. So we either going to lay off some workers, or I don't know what else we can do. But the money has run out. We can't, if we pay the workers, we got to borrow money to build roads. We got to borrow money, as you were talking about, stuff, bin trucks and the buses. We got to borrow money to do those things. But before, our money was building roads, paying school, paying workers and everything, because our economy didn't have a balance. Back in those times, Mr. Price, the people who submit money in these countries was people in the agriculture sector, especially mainly in the chicken industry. All of a sudden, we got a whole heap of people in this country making a whole heap of money, but it's producing nothing. So what we have gone and done? Educate a whole heap of people, whole lot of money. We're just giving them money because they went to the university that could agree. Not that they produce enough, Mr. Price. We have put ourselves in a bind, Mr. Price.
But, sir, to suggest that people who do services, because when you say producing nothing, I suspect you're talking about the service sector, like the offshore sector and those sectors. Those financial sectors bring a lot of foreign exchange into this country. They generate a lot of money. And I can tell you that the people who work in that sector make a bundle. But you said that they're doing nothing.
But
it is just another facet of society. I mean, you just can't dismiss it like that.
Do you understand economics, sir? You see, when they're cashing, 10 people employed that get a whole heap of money and call that economics. When they're cashing after Rihanna making millions of dollars and call that economics. Economics is not one or two people getting all the money. Economics is everybody in the country getting money, sir. So everybody could go wrong and spend with this shop, that shop, and all that. That's what it is. Turning the economic. But Rihanna, with her big money, she could go out, fool people that she wanted to go with and spend her money. It's not going to filter in the economy. A fool Lars with all the big money could go to fool people and shop with them, and it's not going to filter in the economy. So you need an economy where the people got money that they could turn it. Not this one. This one has gone to a grind to a halt. That is the problem in this country.
All right, sir. You've given your perspective.
All right, Mr. High Price, you okay, man?
I am well. And you keep farming. It's a great industry to be in.
The best industry in the world, man. It's the greatest industry in the world. Agriculture and the two good things. Agriculture and the gold industry. The gold industry. Greatest things, though.
Gold industry.
Yeah, right, it's gold.
You take good care. Just maybe two WhatsApp messages here. Good morning, Mr. Price. I would like to know when the MP, I think she's talking here about Mr. Sinclair, was on with Peter Wickham. He did not say about the money for the Beautify Barbados. When these people are going to get their money, can you find out and help us? And then there's another one here. If I can find it, there's so many. Okay, yes, good morning, Mr. Price. The Barbadian electorate never ceased to amaze me. How can a representative shut up office and relocate to Canada while being a parliamentary representative and come back to represent that same constituency and get so much support? As Kissite sang in his Calypso, those things could only happen about here. I don't think he shut up his office, though. He did relocate, but he used to be here on a monthly basis doing special operations and whatnot. So you have it a little wrong there. Anyhow, go back to the phone lines. It is 11:15. You're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, Sanka. How are you doing?
One of my favorite callers. How are you today, sir?
I'm fine.
Okay, let's lock horns today.
I don't want to lock horns, per se. I just want to make a few comments with respect to the conversation which I was hearing you have this morning with Dr. Marshall and Dr. Bell.
Yes.
And then I'm going to speak about the IMF. I'm also going to speak about the social partnership. Mm-hmm. Now, it always amazes me whenever I hear Dr. Marshall with this position of the IMF or a homegrown program, and then the suffering which is expected under this quote-unquote, under any IMF program. And then the examples that are given. Let's say, we have the example of Jamaica, and we have the example of Grenada, or what have you, and never speaks about the example of Barbados. We don't talk about the fact that we went to the IMF before.
Twice.
And we don't talk about the fact that we have had success in that respect from before. We went through a period of hardship, yes, but at the end of the day, we came out of it. So that's not a part of the discussion. It's also always put on that anytime we go to the IMF, they are going to tell us this is what we are going to do. There's never about a negotiation. Although the fact of the matter is that the last time we went to the IMF, it was said that we went with a piece of paper telling them more or less what we want to do, and they essentially signing off on it. So we are all this discussion that Dr. Bell likes to say is not occurring about the exploring the alternatives of exploring the financing with China and those other places. That same discussion is not occurring with the realities of going to the IMF. So therefore, I don't know where he. To me, you talk about half truths in a way, and I would put it another way. It's about when you have a particular bias towards something. In a lot of cases, you'll advance arguments and only try to put forward the good points of that bias. in order to advance your argument. And don't look at something logically and openly. That's the first thing I have to say on that. Now, all we are involved in a Western philosophy, in a Western system of economics. All our trading partners are more or less in the U.S. The IMF is the structure of the financing and that sort of stuff, the economic structures that are used in order to, for the investors to have the confidence in the economies and in terms of what they have to do or what have you. So therefore, the fact that we can go to the IMF and utilize them in order then to build, regain that confidence and get that trust in, that to me is a no-brainer. And furthermore, when he talks about the restructuring of the public sector and asks the questions as to, well, why do we have people with these degrees only working at MTW or what have you? All of that restructuring can still happen with underneath an IMF program. That does not, it's not either or situation. So those are the first things I would have to say with comment to that. Now, the aspect of the social partnership. I am upset with the social partnership, with in particular the leaders of the private sector and the trade union. Because you are going to tell me that for the last 5 years you've been sitting in a room with government, with a particular chairman in that respect. And out of every single meeting you've had, you've complained and quarreled and said that this has not, what was said at the meeting has not transpired into what was expected, and further meetings were supposed to be had, and all those sort of things were going on all the time. And you come back and going to put your name on a document that about restructuring the economy and not expect the exact same foolishness to be happening.
Because they did, in all fairness, because I read the document, in all fairness, both Mr. Herbert and Ms. Moore did outline their concerns and
right.
their expectations. And that is why when the government started to say, well, this is the plan and they have the stakeholders on board, that is why I expected to get some sort of kickback from them, because they made it quite plain up front that they wanted to support anything that would help Barbados, but at the same time that the plan was just the first step. That the document was just the first step.
Sanka, I understand and I appreciate your explanation. Okay? And I respect it. But my name was not going to go anywhere near any document, because I would know from experience that it is going to be misused. Okay? That's something that I know.
But you're starting from a position where you're not trusting your partner.
Saka, is that my fault? If my partner has displayed time and time again that I cannot trust him, why then am I going to be an idiot? Am I kumunu munu? Look at me. But even so, Sanka, let's put it this way, right? If I, from experience, I can say I'm not going to trust him, and somehow I still want to work with him, whatever I write would be so clear, pellucidly clear, as some people would say, to ensure that there can be no misconception or misuse of it, that whatever I have signed on to is now being, it can be advanced to be any restructuring plan without further consultation or discussion or what have you. Because right now, Bajans are confused about it. Okay? So when you have done a disservice to the electorate, because the situation is confused now, that government can look at can say, well, listen, will you sign off on this and you agree with us? And yes, we can go forward based on that there.
But
this is so
No, the government can say that, but I mean, we can debate this, continue debating this point, but the reality is, and I must say that because I remember I did an article on it, I think around February 6th, where I pointed out that both Mr. Herbert and Ms. Moore made it quite clear that they were signing on with conditions. They made that quite clear in that statement that is contained in the foreword of the Barbados Sustainable Recovery Plan.
Okay, no problem. Let's move on from there then. Okay, mm-hmm. Let's move on from that there. Because the question is, what do we do now? And what is the vision? What do you understand? The thing which is missing in Barbados, in my opinion, more than anything else, is discussion. And there's a reason why discussion is missing. And that is because there's certain people who are in power who not just believe that they know what is right, but it is in their best interest to retain power in order not to involve free and open discussion about things. We need to have the whole basis of essence of the House of Assembly. The reason that for the House of Assembly is supposed to be a place where discussion can be had, ventilation of issues can be done, and then out of that ventilation of the issues, then the best ideas can be galvanized and built upon. And that is not what is happening. It is being hijacked by the party concept, more or less. Whereas whoever is the party in power, they have all the power. They control and say what is going on. And when they get into the House of Assembly, it is simply a matter that they're telling you what they are going to do. And you can argue with it, debate or whatever. It doesn't matter. If we say nothing that changes my mind, I then proceed to do whatever I want to do. That has to change.
That is not going to change. But
no, don't because say it's not going to change.
Hold on. As long as we continue with the system that we have, we don't even have, you're talking about the party, but it's not even the party, it's the cabinet. I mean, look at the present configuration within the House of Assembly. You have a cabinet. In fact, the only people who are in the House on the government side that are not in the cabinet are Mr. Paul, Ms. Thompson, Mrs. Thompson, Mr. Carrington, the Speaker. Is there anybody else?
No, Carrington is on the government side too.
Who?
In the government as well.
Who, sorry, I didn't hear that.
No,
I think only the three. Only the three of the 16. I think only three are not in cabinet.
Okay.
So therefore, cabinet decides we're doing A, B, C, and D. When they come to Parliament, they have already decided.
Right.
So what discussion are you talking about? So unless we can get that change, then it's a fait accompli. You can have as much debate as you want. Let's say that Mr. Paul was a maverick. And he, although he's loyal to his party, he has different views and he will air them. Okay? It still wouldn't make a difference because... Wait. The other 13 of the 16, have decided already in the cabinet room that this is the position that they're taking.
Right.
And then that's it. So that is the government that we have. And I'm saying to you that even if, and that has been going on now for years in several governments, in several regimes, because of the size of the cabinets.
And Sanka, do you agree with me? And this
I'm not disagreeing. I'm just pointing out to you why it is so. Why the point is that you're making it so critical? It is
right.
A critical point.
Ah, good. So you point out to the others because this is the point that exactly I'm afraid of it. And this is what has to change, mm-hmm. Right? So therefore, the question is now: how can we force that change? Now, the Constitution provides for that change by having a 2-3 majority. In meaning that the people that come in, as long as they have the 2-3, they can then bring about constitutional change. So the question is, can we get people in there to get that two-third majority, who are ready to make that change, who care about the country, okay, and more about themselves, more about the country than they do about themselves. This is what we need to see and hear from anybody who wants to be a prospective leader of this country going forward. Right? They have to stand up and say, listen, I recognize the weaknesses within our Constitution. I recognize the abuses that have been going on in our Constitution. And therefore, I am prepared to say that if given the ability, the two-third majority, to make that constitutional change, I will commit to making that change within this time period, within a particular time frame.
So,
and you have that, the wisdom also of any leader coming in. They should also recognize, I'm not going to be in power forever. So therefore, it makes sense for me to compromise with whoever is in opposition right now, to give them some sort of power. So it means that when I go out of power, that then I still continue to have some sort of influence, okay, when I am in opposition. This is what a leader has to have the vision to see beyond just a five-year term or whatever in the future, and believing that they're going to be in power forever.
Welcome back to Brass Tacks. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Those previous three callers, man, I've never had it when three people can call before I get on, and I'm just nodding all the time. Particularly the last one, because there's very little that he can say or has ever said over 20 years that I've ever actually nodded to. But I don't know if he's drinking something special or maybe he just get old and a little more wiser with time. So something went different there. Sorry, I'm supposed to be polite, man. Good afternoon to you, sir. Good morning, sorry.
Good morning. How are you today?
I'm fine.
You're waxing warm today. You're waxing warm today.
I'm waxing warm. This is the thing about waxing, though. Good gosh, man. Left with the wax doctor. Look, the truth is, right, that, things don't really work that well because, as you say, when people change, when different faces come into play, they find that the things they complain about seem to work in their favor, so it just continues, and the laws that you speak about that have been on the books that probably will not change your lifetime will probably remain that way. But, you know, how do you view change? I mean, you can say, talk this thing over and over again, you're tired of hearing me, you know, but, you know, you're still basically a one party. You're just basically dealing with one party. I mean, I'm surprised that I did not know, I probably wasn't that close, following this thing that closely, that the present Prime Minister was a senator, and he made the comments that he did with respect to the composition of the tripartite arrangement. But it's funny how clearly you can see things when you're on one side of that party, and then your position just more or less just changed, you know, when it comes now to your particular office, and you now have the ability to make that change that you've always had a problem with. One party. So you talk what you can. In fact, even you, whenever you get there and say, in defense of the Prime Minister, or in defense of Senator, the fellow you spoke in defense of, or in defense of Miss Motley, Mr. Arthur, and this changing of the PAC, I start to shudder because I'm thinking, how are you going to be here criticizing the instruments that these people have to work with, and then defend them because they speak out in favor of them at one point or the other? To my mind, if you speak as a Prime Minister, it should be no different as to when you spoke as an opposition senator. There should be no difference. Absolutely none. You're the same person. And people would probably vote for you as an individual because of the things that you have said.
Just look at Donald Trump.
I'm sorry?
Just look at Donald Trump.
I don't know. That name sounds familiar. I keep hearing it, but I'm not even sure who he is, though. Serious. Just, I keep hearing that name, but I don't know. They don't follow things.
The point that Donald Trump has demonstrated is that he you knew what you were going to get. He said from early what his prejudices were, and people voted for him, prejudices and all. And so there should be no surprise of what is happening now with his policies.
There's a guy called Michael Bolton who was the UN, the ambassador of the United States ambassador to the UN, about 20 years ago, 15 years ago. To my mind, the best ambassador they ever had to the UN because he spoke the way you would expect an American to speak. I mean, Dr. Bell always talks about power, power. You got the power of the capital, political capital. Everything is power with him. He's probably right because he likes to speak from a realistic, pragmatic position. This man, Mr. Bolton, was dealing with the ambassador to the UN of the most powerful country in the history of the world. History of the world. And the UN sits in the United States. So I don't know if the UN pays them rent or they... And he's saying things like, you know, this building is in the United States and we really should be paying for these building money, should be carrying their own weight. And he down the road, everything he says is what should be said. We are the most powerful country. Why are we bowing down to these people? That's Mr. Bolton, you know. He is the ambassador. You know, he lasts about a month to pull you back. Just listen, you can't be saying them things. Reason being is that even though that is the sentiments a whole host of Americans believe or hold, it's not the things that should be said in public. I think Maxine McLean was the one speaking about that at the time, but she said, you know, United States, she wasn't even a big shot then. United States carries a big whip. What's it? Walk sloppy, but carry a big whip. And that's their particular approach. Now, Trump, this guy Trump from Iceland or wherever he's from, sounds like a very German name to me, comes to power. And he's saying exactly what Americans should be saying because they are the most powerful country in the history of mankind. He's taken all of the flair, all of the curtains, all of the icing off the cake. And you can now see these people exactly as they have been, no matter if it was a black president, an Amerindian president. That is exactly who they are in the majority, in the main. So you know something, the man in line? He in line, he's talking to him true to form. Unlike the individuals who may come as a senator and say one thing, then become a prime minister, it's something different. So yes, I am agreeing with you. And I'm thinking that perhaps if this whole process had any real value to people, you should shun them if it is that they choose to oppose any comments that they would or any sentiments that they previously made in a different capacity. Just shun them as being irrelevant, as the caller one before the last did. You can't be saying one thing no, then I'll come back and say something completely different. The whole issue of the tripartite arrangement. You know, and one guy was speaking about, it doesn't properly represent the private sector because you got all kinds of vendors in there. You got farmers in there, and a farmer called in. You know, it is quite true. Stuart was correct as a senator. Yes, it is not properly comprised. But then the last caller comes in and says, we need to have a body. No, he didn't do that, but you won before. That would probably speak to all of these various interests, all of them. But the last caller is speaking about the, you know, constitutional change, and yes, they had two opportunities.
I would like you to do is to tell me what you see as the way forward.
Well, that's what it is.
2 minutes. What?
That's what I'm saying.
Your perspective on the way forward.
Because the constitutional change, yes, the Public Accounts Committee was good, but the better change should have taken place in the Senate. But that's where all the people should come together and discuss these things. You would need a tripartite. Worker, government, private sector arrangement, because that is too narrow. I mean, of course, the workers can have a seat in Parliament, in the Senate. Of course, they can choose that person. Mm-hmm. Huh? Of course, the big business that people...
And so you see the need for an unelected Senate.
No, you will elect them. You will elect them, but not you and me. You only elect the ones that pertain to your particular interests. Mm-hmm. They get to choose who their senators are. If I, you know, John Watson, who... is an independent senator, was chosen by a party and said, and was presented to the other party, the other half of the party, and they said, yes, it's okay. And then his name went to the Governor General, who was also elected by, or was chosen by the same party. And she said, and then it was a he. He said, okay, too. The same is true for Henry Fraser. You know, he was chosen by a party, taken to the other side of the party, and they agreed to it. Then the name was taken to the Governor General, and bum, he said. But, you know, Mr. Fraser is now speaking about farming. Oh, he's drying up. Farming is drying up in Barbados, which is true. But he should be better prepared to speak on maybe architecture, which he does speak about, or indeed medicine. Anybody who should be speaking on farming should be elected by the people who do farming. Like the last caller. They will determine who that person is. You know, anybody representing manufacturing should be determined, you know, not by a party, and then the opposition side said, yes, it's okay. By the same people who manufacture or who produce stuff in Barbados that need a proper not that John is not a proper representative, but John would be more likely to be, you know, to be easy in his approach, to be a little more accommodating in appreciating the kind of effort that he envisions the parties do.
We need somebody you who are going to shake up things.
Gonna shout, but not me alone. Go in there and make some good proper noise. You embarrass people if you have to. Because the truth is, you cannot move any further. The man was talking about revolution. Of course you need a revolution, but not with weapons. You have a revolution in the way things are done, in the way you communicate, in the way you try to force your way forward. Without a violent approach, I suspect. But I talk to you violently, no. So this is quite violent, to be honest with you. But yes, You need that kind of a revolution. You cannot continue, I'm going to choose a person from the Democratic Party, choose a person, then take it to the Barbarous Labour Party. Do you like this person? I like him. You know, sometimes he's not going to shake up anything. Let's take it to the Governor General. I know she's going to follow us because we chose her. You like this person? Yes. She can speak. He can speak on behalf of the Queen's Senate or Her Royal Majesty's Senate or whatever. And then you go down that road. You're not making any significant difference to make any significant change to result in a significant difference in the way things are being done. And this is where all them three callers could come together and recognize that if you choose one party to run the show and then you kick them out and choose the same party but with a different name, you are not doing anything. You're just stopping. It's a revolving door. A revolving door. True change only comes when you go for new. I don't care.
And they have a WhatsApp message here saying, totally agree with anti-America.
Well, so. Okay. I'm glad. Come and say so, man. Forget the WhatsApp. Come open your mouth and shout. I mean, if you're tired like me, you're supposed to make noise. Don't come and talk to the last caller. He always so pleasant and so accommodating. No, come and make some good noise, man.
All right. All right.
Thank you
very much for your contribution. Don't forget, we take a break at 11:55 for the regional roundup. We go back to the phone lines. Good morning. You're on the air. Good morning. Good morning. You're on the air. Try this one more time. Good morning. You're on the air.
Hey, good morning, Mr. Good morning, Mr. Price. How are you today?
I'm well, thank you. And you?
Not too bad. I was laughing at him. I sent another list. I'm glad that Trump came apart because he actually exposed the true mentality of the American government actually works. But something that they will never tell you. We know they call with the president sits the White House. They will never tell you that on two occasions what is now called the White House. It was called something else. It was burnt down twice by a coalition of the Canadian Indians and the British. The chief called Tecumseh, led the British and the burnt underway. It was on two occasions. But you never find a history book in America. You find it in British history books and the business people have a history of it. Also, you know that they use the Beatitudes to call, they see the part of the hill. Sitting on a hill is hard to find. That's their manifest destiny stuff. See, they have the world trick, right? And the United States government always runs off of Christianity, but it used to hide it. And this is something that me and Mr. Ten Love Carbon actually spoke about on the night show you used to have. But that's besides the point. Now, I want to back up Ms. P on something that she said. It was constructive criticism, actually, regarding a program that you had there with the roads. But before that, you had on Sunday Brass, actually, you had the agriculture show, the AgriFest, didn't you?
Yes.
Was it you that went from the word agriculture to farming?